The Lord had said to Abraham, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abraham went as the Lord had told him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And Susie's going to do our second reading. Thank you, Susie.
The second reading is John chapter 3, verses 1 to 12 and 14 to 17. Jesus teaches Nicodemus. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I've spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. So just pray for Mark now as he comes to talk to us this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Mark's preparation, and we ask that you inspire Mark now with your Holy Spirit to speak the words that you have prepared for today, and that you open our hearts, that we are ready to receive what you're saying to each one of us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. It's pretty much a monologue I've written out. I'm going to read it out. So I hope you enjoy it. There we go. Thank you again for allowing me to take up some minutes of your time on a Sunday morning. Today's Old Testament lesson is the story of Abraham's vocation, and the Gospel reading, the story of Nicodemus' visit to Jesus. There's quite a lot about me in this. It is what came out. My thoughts when I read Abraham's story again were about vocation. Speaking for myself, I can say that I have felt a sense of vocation, a vocation to teach. I have been very fortunate to spend the last 15 years of my career teaching in a prestigious sixth form college after a long time struggling in secondary schools. I'm mainly a subject teacher now, but I have been asked to lead sessions with students on employability, a related idea. You have to be very careful in the school environment with what you say about spiritual things, so I found myself being quite old-fashioned and talking about things like dependability and trustworthiness. Most of my students are on the IT and technology side, but I have met one or two who from an early age are clear that they are set on a particular vocational career path. Preparing this talk gave me a good opportunity to reflect on what can be done to help people to move forward, hopefully, in their lives, and what God in Christ might have to say to anyone who is willing to hear, listen, and follow. The famous gospel story about Jesus and Nicodemus brought back to me a particular phase in my career. And early in the reading, when Nicodemus and Jesus both refer to each other as great teachers, it made me think of a particular colleague I found inspiring. When I first went into teaching, like most people, I struggled with the workload, found it very difficult to remain calm when thinking on my feet in front of classes of teenagers, and was deeply uncomfortable with the mismatch between my strong sense of vocation and my many inadequacies and mistakes. I had wobbled between attempting a career in the electronics industry and going into teaching, but decided on the latter, as following being confirmed in the Church of England at the age of 12, I felt the call of God. There are many other stories in the Bible about the call of God. For example, the spectacular and literally earth-shaking call to Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6. The astounding vision in Ezekiel chapter 1, which reads more like a sci-fi epic. For me, however, it was more like Elijah's still small voice of calm, or the call of Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 3. The young boy Samuel hears a voice calling him in the night. He has to go to the priest Eli before he realizes it is God who is calling him. Eli teaches Samuel to say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." So it's no credit to me. I needed to be shown what to do and told who it was that was calling. Coming back to me in teaching, it's often said that you never learn as much as when you go into teaching. And it's ironic how slow I was, and possibly still am, to learn all the skills needed to survive in the classroom. The idea of a vocation seems rarely, if ever, to be mentioned these days, possibly because the idea that there must be a caller to do the calling is so unfashionable. I can vouch that it is a reality, as I remember the struggle between what I thought would have been choosing an easy path and facing up to a challenge. Key moments for me were being told that I would make a good teacher after doing a talk at primary school. And a few years later, the same thing by the vicar of a church I was confirmed at. Looking back, I would not have persevered when I commuted from Essex to a girls' school in South London without praying and reading the Bible on the train. Whatever my inadequacies, God kept me going by sending me a sense that the struggle was worth it. Education matters. My head of department during my job in London was a fiery Welshman called Chris Howell. Chris knew how to deal with me and knew just when it was that I needed support and encouragement or a stern telling. I would ask him the best way to teach a certain bit of physics or how to deal with a particularly difficult pupil or class, and he would take the time to explain and give advice. In today's gospel reading from John chapter 3, a Jewish leader, Nicodemus, comes secretly to Jesus. Nicodemus must have been fascinated by this young, charismatic faith healer and miracle worker. He does not ask Jesus a particular question, but offers flattery. "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher sent by God. No one could perform the miracles you are doing unless God were with him." Perhaps Nicodemus knows Jesus is something very special and feels that he wants to work with him, even learn from him, but simply does not know what to say or ask. Jesus replies with one of the most astounding claims in the whole New Testament. "No one can see the kingdom of heaven unless he is born again." Wow, Nicodemus must have thought, "I didn't see that one coming." What being born again means, of course, has been debated for the two millennia since. Was this an attempt to get Nicodemus, the conservative old school upholder of traditional values, to think outside the box and to look for deep principles rather than searching for which rule to apply? Or was it a program for personal improvement, starting with, "Please send a donation to this address like some TV advert for some American health and wealth movement. Fully unpacking the rest of the reading, even down to verse 17, could take hours, so I won't try to do that. You'll be relieved to hear. To pick out one line, it would have to be John 3:16. This is often referred to as the most famous verse in the Bible. For God so loved the world so much that he gave his only son, so that anyone who believes in him may not die, but have eternal life. It's often quoted by those who like to build a case for ticket to heaven theology, where all you have to do is believe, it's not about what you do. But the following verse, for God did not send his son into the world to be its judge, but to be its saviour, to me surely implies a call to all of us to be outward looking and humble, not self-satisfied and haughty. In this passage, Jesus says that entering the kingdom of heaven is about being born spiritually of the Spirit. When we put that together with the idea of a calling or a vocation, perhaps it simply means that we can hear God through wise and experienced people. I needed to seek Chris Howell's advice during my time in London, as well as read the Bible and pray. If you are seeking God's guidance, you need to open up to people and be discerning in whom you trust and whom you listen to. What's certain is that Jesus gave Nicodemus and all of us plenty to think about and a challenge to be reinvented, as the people we were intended to be. Like Chris Howe back in my early career, God knows when we need encouragement and when we need a challenge. And like Samuel, we must listen and work out what our calling is. We may not all be like Abraham, founders of a nation as numerous as the stars in the sky or the grains of sand on a beach, but God's love is there and his ways are wise. I'd like to end with a prayer. Father, we come to you and wait in quietness and trust for your guidance and challenge. Give us grace to accept the wisdom of those who have walked this path before us and to respond to your amazing call and example of loving sacrifice. Amen.